important to us as a people. They're important to us as a nation. But these principles, because we were principle-driven, we decided we'd rather fight and die for the principles than live but forfeit the principles that we thought were so important to us. It was more important that we stick to our guns and be principle-driven than surrender just so that we could live. Today, I want to touch base on the three principles that this nation was built on, and I want you to ask yourself the question, what place do these principles have in your life today? And I want to just quickly add, not only was this nation built on these three principles, but these are the very principles that Jesus Christ lived his life by when he walked on this earth, okay? So these are Jesus-model, Jesus-driven principles that were a part of the founding of this nation because we did come here for the freedom to worship our God. That's the number one reason we came here. And everything around that we hold near and dear to us, right? That was really weak. Okay, there we go. So the first life principle that this nation was built on, that Jesus Christ lived his life by, and I'm asking how you're doing in this particular area, is the principle of identification. I must know who I am. I must know who I am. That's the starting point, don't you think? Professor Warren Bennis, who has written, a couple of dozen books at least, said these words, "All good and great leaders know their strengths and their weaknesses. They accept their strengths and they admit their weaknesses." You have strengths and you have weaknesses. I have some strengths and I have a bunch of weaknesses. That's all of us. We're just a bundle of strengths and weaknesses, right? Why can't we be honest about that? Why can't we be honest? Oh, we like to brag about our strengths, but we just totally minimize and try to, you know, put under the carpet our weaknesses, and it's to our own demise. Don't try to be something you're not. Celebrate what you are and admit what you're not. I think there's a word for that in psychology. It's called self-awareness. But you got to know who you are. Did Jesus have any trouble knowing who he was? Did Jesus have any trouble with his identity? Do I have a water up here anywhere? I'm sure one's coming right now. Jesus knew exactly who he was, didn't he? He described himself over and over again. I just gave you a touch of those. You see him in your notes right there. He says this, "I am the light of the world. I am the Son of God. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the bread of life." I just listed a few. There's over 18 times. Is that my wife's or is that yours? It's my wife's. Aloha. I think it's a subtle suggestion every time she picks this up for me as a aloha, honey. Ah, thank you. Sorry for all of you that don't have a water. Maybe I'll take another drink in a little bit too. Yeah, great. So he didn't have any questions about his identity, did he? Over 18 times he said, "I am, I am, I am this, I am that." He's constantly defining who he is because he wasn't about to let you or me define him. He wasn't going to let the people around him define him. So I guess we got a choice, either we're going to define ourselves or we're going to let other people define us. So Jesus says, "I am this and I am this and I am this." He knew exactly who he was. The problem that we have today is that we're looking to other people to validate us instead of looking to Jesus. Who does Jesus say? Who's my creator? And who does he say I am? And what did he say he created me for? John chapter 8, verse 18. This is Jesus talking. "I testify on my own behalf." What in the world does he mean by that? I testify on my own behalf. Well, he's saying, I'm not depending on other people's opinions here. I'm not looking for other people to tell me who I am. I know who I am. I know exactly who I am. I know my story, and I'm going to tell others my story. This is so very, very important. Matter of fact, I don't think you got notes on the back of your insert. So flip your insert over and just scribble a couple of thoughts down here that I did not put in your insert. But listen, if you don't know who God has made you to be, then I guarantee you, you are going to fall into these three categories over and over and over again. They're traps. The first one is you're going to allow other people to manipulate you with their expectations. You're going to allow other people to manipulate because you don't know who you are. When they tell you who they think you are, oh, well, I guess their opinion is as good as anybody else. And they place their opinions upon you, their expectations. You start allowing other people to begin molding you into the image they want for you instead of what God means for you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Do you know what it is? Other people are going to force you into their mold if you don't. If you don't discover who you are in Christ, then other people are going to fit you into what their expectations are. You've heard me say it over and over and over again. God has a wonderful plan for your life, and so does everybody else. Oh, you bet they do. Have you figured out what God's plan for your life is? If you don't decide it, other people are going to decide it for you. You feel the pressure all the time, don't you? Of people trying to force their expectations on you. Maybe it's a boss. They'll decide for you. Your parents will definitely decide for you. Your spouse will decide for you. Your boyfriend will decide for you. Your girlfriend will decide for you. Some teacher is going to try to force you into the mold. I saw it all the time going through college. Constantly trying to pressure you into a mold that is their expectations. This is what I expect you to believe. This is how I expect you to behave. This is what I expect you to go after. These are my principles, and I expect them to be your principles too. Some of you are still trying to live up to your parents' expectations, and it's making you absolutely miserable. You don't need to do that. God did not create you to do what your parents expected you to do or be what your parents expected you to be. God created you, and He expects you to be what He created you to be. He created you with specific intentions, and you're either going to live your life influenced by everybody else's intentions for your life, or you're going to discover why God created you. And I personally want to focus on why my Creator created me and gave me the gifts and talents that He gave me. And if you don't plug into that, and if you're not able to say, this is who I am, and this is why I'm here, and this is what I'm going to do, then other people will begin to literally manipulate you for their own purposes. The second thing that happens if you don't have an answer to this question is you start living a phony life. That's number two. You start living a lie. Why? Because you don't know who you are. Think about it. If you don't know who you are, then when you're around these kind of people, you're going to live this way. And if you're around these kind of people, you're going to live this way. And depending on who you're around depends on how you're going to live. So you act one way when you're at work, you act another way when you're at church, you act another way when you're at home. You don't really know who you are, so you just end up living a lie. Living a lie. Phoniness. You wear a mask. What's the term that we have? Hypocrite. Hypocrite means wearing a mask. You're always pretending. Some of you, it comes up on your Facebook page. Whoa, they said that? Constantly pretending. Depending. Pretending, depending on who you're around and who you're with. Which leads to the third trap, which is tremendous stress. Stress happens when you don't know who you were made to be. When you don't know who you were made to be, you're trying to please other people around you. Here's a statistic I just pulled up yesterday. Actually, I heard it yesterday. 32% of adults 50 to 65 years old struggle with hypertension. Comes from stress. They figure it takes that long of living a duplicitous lifestyle that by the time you get there, you're just gone over the edge. You just can't handle it anymore. You've just reached your limit, your max. Two things that will limit your influence. See, we're called to be salt. We're called to be light. Those are huge influencers. Huge! But when we turn the light off and when we lose our savor, when we allow our identity, who we are, to be weakened or to be washed away. Who are you? What do you want me to say? What? Then all of a sudden we start comparing and we start copying the people around us. And comparing and copying is going to take away your influence. It's going to dilute you. It's going to stop you from being who God made you to be. So the first point there is God wants you to be who He created you to be. You got to know and you've got to become comfortable with who you are in Christ. There you go. I'm not going to try to be anybody else. I'm not going to compare. I'm not going to copy myself. We do that all the time. So three things. Number one, accept your strengths. Number two, admit your weaknesses. I tell you, that's one thing among the many things, but I absolutely love that about Celebrate Recovery. I'm going to tell you who I am in Christ, and I'm going to tell you what my struggle is right off the bat. The world is sick up to here with Christians who only talk about their strengths and will not admit the struggles that they've got. And so they have no reason to identify with us at all because they know all of their struggles. They know their situations. They don't fit in here because we don't have any problems. Accept your strengths and talk about them. Admit your weaknesses. Talk about them and know who you are in Christ. In you, I can do anything. I can do everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the first principle is the principle of identification. And I'll put it in two ways. Know who you are and know whose you are. Because that'll change your world. That'll rock your world. Number two is clarification. Clarification, that's know what God wants me to accomplish. Know what God wants. So it's not who I am in Him. It's what He's put me on this earth for. I got to clarify, God, what have You called me to do? You gave me life. You put me here. You packaged me up with these gifts, talents, and abilities. Now, what is it You want me to do? I've got to know what God wants me to accomplish. This is so important because look at me. The direction of your life is your choice. If you don't like the direction that your life is headed right now, change it. Go ahead. I don't see anybody holding a gun to your head. Nobody's making you the victim. Nobody's forcing you. You have to go this way or that way. You don't like the direction that you're headed right now? Change. The direction of your life is your choice. God gave you a free will. And if we're going to be the salt and the light, if we're going to be the influencers that God intends for us to be, then we got to know who we are and we got to know where we're headed. No, I'm not going that way. No, I'm not going that way. No, I don't have time for that because I know where I'm going. I know what God has called me to do. I know what I'm supposed to accomplish. And I begin to clarify. I begin to talk about what the goals are that I've got in my life, what the purpose is that God put me here for. And when I do that, all of a sudden, I stop succumbing to the tyranny of the urgent. You know what the tyranny of the urgent is. And you know that I've taught you for years that what's urgent is not what's important. Urgent and important are two totally different things. A lot of things that are urgent, they're not even going to matter to you next week. Things that are important are going to last for all of eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever. So how many of you think we ought to distinguish between the urgent and the... Thank you. Thank you. You know, Nat, you're doing very well back there. You've already said a couple of very smart things. The urgent and the important. Jesus knew what he was called to do. He knew what he was here for. He knew what he was going to accomplish. He was straightforward about it. He was clear-cut about it. And in his own words in John chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus says, I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. You ever get to the end of the day and you just ask yourself the question, did I accomplish anything today? I mean, really, for eternity, did I accomplish anything? We all know that there's a massive difference between activity and productivity, right? You can be busy chasing your tail. You can be so busy spinning in circles. Busyness binds you up. It takes your time and it takes your energy, but you never get anything done. Activity does not equal productivity. There's a huge difference. But you can turn activity into productivity. What is it that makes activity productivity versus just activity just chasing your tail? One thing. Meaning. 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 So activity becomes productivity when you're doing something with a meaning, for a purpose. This is why I'm doing what it is that I'm doing. You know why you're doing what it is that you're doing? You're headed down a specific road because you've got a goal that you're being strategic. Remember Nehemiah when he was building the walls of Jerusalem and they kept saying, come on out and talk with us. Come on out and strategize it. Come out and do this. He says, I don't have time for any of that. I'm busy building the wall. This is why God has got me here. And no, I'm not going to go this way. And no, I'm not going to go this way. And no, I'm not going to do this. And no, I'm not going to do that. He was living strategically. He was living straightforward. Jesus was doing the very same thing, wasn't he? It's an amazing verse that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He says, be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. You know, I'll never forget when I read that over and I thought to myself, what? That doesn't even sound like something Jesus would say. The Jesus I know? Be shrewd as serpents and harmless as doves. He's talking to his own people. He's talking to his followers. He's talking to his believers. He's talking to you and me. You bet he is. So then what does he mean? Okay, I'll tell you. He's talking to you about living a strategic life. Jesus Christ knew where he was going. He was living strategically. Some of us think that to be shrewd is not to be Christ-like. Yes, it is. You should have a strategy for your life. He says, I want you to be innocent as doves. That means I want you to be pure. I want your motives to be clear. I don't want you to be manipulating anybody. That's not godly. But you do need to be strategic with your life, with your time. You've only got one life. You're preparing while you're here for eternity. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's a strategic, that's a shrewd lifestyle right there. So there's lots of things I'm not going to do because when the life has passed me by, it's done and gone, and now I got to live with the consequences of it. So I want to be really smart with this one very short life, and the older I get, the faster it goes. I want to be really smart with how I'm living here because I am preparing forever and ever and ever and ever for all of eternity, and I only got one shot at this thing. I'm going to be strategic about how I use my time. And Jesus was so clear on this. He knew who he was, and he knew what he was here for. He knew what he was going to do with his life. Luke chapter 4, verse 43, Jesus says, I must proclaim the good news, for I was sent for this purpose. He says, I've got a purpose, and I'm going to fulfill it. I don't see when Jesus is talking, I don't think him saying, well, you know, I should be doing this, and I might be doing this, and I'd like to be doing this. He didn't say that. He says, I must be about my Father's business. God's got a purpose for your life, too. You'll see it all through the Old Testament and New Testament. People that were mightily used by God plugged into the purpose that he put them on this earth for, and they started to say no to everything else except for that purpose. Now, if you don't discover God's plan for your life, the way he packaged you up, look, we spend all this time at this church helping you to discover that. That's what we're all about. Helping you discover your gifts and your talents and your abilities and your heart and all of these things. Because we want you to be able to say, this is who I am and this is how he made me. And I must be about my Father's business. Because if you're not, you just wasted your life. You weren't put on this earth to live for your ideas, and you weren't put on this earth to live for other people's ideas. You were put on this earth to live your life for the purposes of God, who created you and gifted you to be able to accomplish. You need to know where you are headed. You need to know why you're on. You want to make an influence with your life. Start just dealing with these two issues right here. Matter of fact, just go back and think with me. I was just repeated a couple of times, and I started thinking to myself, why are you here? Do you know the first recorded words of Jesus Christ on the face of this earth? He was 12 years old, and he said these words. I must be about my Father's business. Think about that. The very first recorded words of Jesus Christ in the Bible, 12 years old, I must be about my Father's business. He already knew at 12 years old what it is that he wanted to accomplish with his life. So those are his very first recorded words. And now he's hanging on the cross at the end of his life. Almost the last words of his life were, it is finished. That's like bookends of your life right there. You want a successful life? I must be about my Father's business. I did it. I want to know what God wants me to do with my life. And I want to be busy doing it. You're going to hear me talk about this more at the next point. But I am telling you, I am living an absolutely focused life. Know who you are in Christ. Know what he's asked you to accomplish. Know how he's given you the gifts, the talents, and the Holy Spirit to be able to pull it to pass. This is what he's called me to do. I can't go that direction. I can't do this. And that leads you to our third principle today. Whew, I'm so proud of myself. I'm really doing well here. I think you're going to be out of here by 1 o'clock. Third is motivation. Don't worry, Josh. I was just joking. I know, you got to be on the river. Okay, yeah. Motivation. Know who you're trying to please. Come on, who are you trying to please? Let me see. I can think of at least three options. I can be trying to please others. I can try to be pleasing to God. But most likely, I want to be pleasing to myself. Yeah. Who are you trying to please? That's pretty important, don't you think? So let's just take a minute right now. You got to settle the issue of motivation right here and right now. So let's just start off with a question. Can you please everybody? No. So you figure that out. Then why are you trying so hard? You can't please everybody. Okay, so then who are you trying to? Don't give me the religious answer. Give me the real answer. Don't even give me an answer. Don't. I take it all back. Don't give me an answer. But I want to ask you, who are you trying to please? Okay, let's just break it into two crowds. You got crowd A over here, and they're all happy. But crowd A is all happy, and you got crowd B, who is really disappointed with the decisions you're made. They're ticked off at you. You get crowd B happy and excited. Now crowd A is all mad at you. They're upset with you. And then you start thinking, what in the world? I mean, even God can't please everybody. Have you thought about that? I mean, you got these people that are voting for the warriors, and you got these people that are voting for the kings, and it's the same game, and they're both got people that are praying. Somebody's praying amiss. And to think somebody's going to get ticked off at God. What's up? I was praying about this. I ask you to help me with this one here. How come they? You know, go back to this spring. This spring, we had some people who were praying for more rain. And yet we had some people who were praying, I've had enough rain. Give us some sunshine. Even God can't please everybody, right? So I would think it would only be a fool who would try to do what God can't do. So why are you? Why are you trying to please everybody? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You cannot please everybody. Figure it out. Stop and think. Who am I trying to please? I'm preaching it myself because I am so aware of this. I'm constantly disappointing people because I can't please everybody. I say yes to this one appointment over here, and I disappoint somebody else who wants to have another appointment over here. I say yes to this phone call over here, so I have to say no to this phone call over here. Everybody's got different expectations of who I am and what I can do. I always say, I'm working on my omnipresence. I'm just not there yet. And if I ever get there, run from me. So my prayer is, Lord, help me not to be driven by what other people think. By what other people are saying about me as they're trying to press me into their expectations. And I go back to the Bible and I open it up and I start reading, Jesus, how did you handle this? They were pressing in on you, pressing in on you, pressing in on you. And I start to look through there, over there, over there, over there, over there. Oh, I see how you handled it. You are living for an audience of one. The only person you tried to please was Father God. John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus is speaking here. I only try to please the one who sent me. He's not out there trying to win a popularity contest with everybody. He's trying to please one, and that is Father God. Why should we be any different? We were created by God. And for thy pleasure, I am created. You are worthy, O God. You're worthy. We got to learn this lesson. If you're going to be effective for doing what God created you to do, if you're going to be effective as salt and light, if you're going to be effective as an influencer, you got to learn to stop caring so much about all these different opinions that are out there and start focusing on just God's. Just God. Focus on it. This life is so much like a marathon. It's a long haul. When you're running the race, there's people in the stands and they're cheering you on. Go for it. But along with the people that are cheering you, there's other people who are jeering you, right? Oh man, they're giving you a hard time. You got people that are giving you compliments and then you've got your critics. You got everybody around you. I can't go there. I just got to focus on that one right there. Oh God. You're the one I want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What do you do with all this kind of stuff? You ignore it. I just don't have time. There's too many important things for me to be worrying about. And I'm talking both sides. I don't care whether it's the cheers or the jeers. I don't care if it's the strokes or the pokes. I don't care if it's the critics or the compliments. I don't care. I love what Billy Graham said about criticism. He says, when you decide that you're going to enter into that kind of a contest with somebody who is critical, it's like wrestling with a pig. Both of you jump in the mud, but only one of you enjoys it. One of the huge myths of our society today that keeps you from being salt and light, that keeps you from being an influencer, is you want to be liked by everybody. You want to make everybody happy. And that's a myth. You can't do it. You're going to go crazy. Here's the fact. The fact is, God loves you unconditionally. You know what I just said? What I just said was that God's never going to love you any more or any less than he loves you right now. Yeah, but you don't know what I did last night. Yeah, but you don't know what I said. Yeah, but you don't know where I went. Do you think that what you do causes God to love you more or less than he already loves you? He loved you before he created you. As you were, before you were born, he had a plan for your life. And he says these words, I love you. If God likes you then and God likes you now, I like this. When you discover who you are in Christ, then you start liking yourself because how God made you. So if you like you and God likes you, if somebody else doesn't like you, what's their problem? Don't carry that. They've got the problem, not you. You've got God's approval. You don't need their approval. Come on, let's be honest. Some of you today are trying to get the approval of people who are never, ever going to give it to you. You have an unpleasable boss. You've got an unpleasable mom or dad or husband or wife or somebody. You're after their approval. Here's the truth. You're an adult now. I'm sorry that stuff happened to you, but you don't need their approval to get on with your life. Because you're never going to get it. It doesn't say anything about you. It's all about them. That's their problem, friend. Let it be their problem. It's their hang up. Stop making their hang up and them being unpleasable and you never being able to get their approval. Let it be their stuff. Their heart is hurt. Get off of the crazy wagon. Matter of fact, I just want to pray for some of you right now. Just bow your heads with me for a second. Jesus, I just speak freedom over some people here who've never added up. Their parents told them they were never going to amount to anything. Their parents told them they were a mistake. Their parents were totally performance-driven, and they were performance-driving their kids. Some of us are now adults. And we look up at you and we see a huge smile on your face because you love us. Help us to learn to get our approval from you because you love us. And help us to realize that there's people around us that are always going to be caustic and unpleasable and unhappy. And that's their stuff. We just take the backpack they're trying to put on us and we just put it back over on them or we drop it to the ground, but we're not carrying that anymore. We're carrying what you say about us, who you say we are, the love you have for us. God's love for you, friend, is not performance-driven. It's unconditional. God's love for you is based on who he is and not on what you do. I hope you get that. So let me just ask you a question while your heads are just bowed just in this moment. Who are you depending on for your happiness? Who are you looking to for your happiness? Some of you right there, you just said, well, if my husband would just change, I could be really happy. If my girlfriend would change, if my boyfriend would change, if my wife would change, I would be so happy. If I had a different boss, I'd be so happy. If I had a different job. If I could just get married, I'd be so happy. No, you won't. I'm not joking. That's the truth. You're going to have problems in your marriage just like you have problems in your single life. Get off the blame game. Stop saying, I must, I have to, I can't, I should. They can't pressure you without your permission. Stop giving them permission.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Look, if you're feeling the pressure of expectations from other people, it's your fault. I was talking to a business person this last week, president of an organization. They were pushing hard on performance and the bottom line getting better and a greater return and all that kind of stuff. I just thought to myself, I'm so glad that I am missions driven, that I have a purpose, that I have a goal, that I can do the best I can do before God, and I don't have to get down in the ditch with this kind of junk. What a way to get an ulcer, to get absolutely stressed out, but it's your choice. I don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. You're living for an audience of there you go. So let's just settle the issue of motivation, okay? How do I settle the issue of motivation? Oh, don't make me start to preach all over again. There you go. Know whose approval you're living for. Whose approval are you living for? There you go. So what's the ultimate motivation in your life? It's the motivation that Jesus modeled for us. What was that motivation? I mean, is there any other perfect leader in the whole wide world other than Jesus Christ? No. So what was the model he gave for us? It's in John chapter 17, verse 4. John 17 is called the high priestly prayer, where God is talking to Father God. And he says these words. He says, I have brought you, Jesus is talking to Father God, I have brought you, Father God, glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I accomplished what you put me on. Some of you are giving your parents way too much credit. Yeah, they got together and you were created, but God has a specific plan for you. You're not an accident. God has got a bigger plan for you. God takes those things that are oops in the world and he turns and uses it for good when we just give him the pieces of the puzzle of our life. Can you repeat those words, what Jesus just said there? I've accomplished what you have put me on this earth to do. I have brought you glory. I'm bringing you glory. What is the ultimate motivation for life? To make more money, to buy more stuff, to have more fun, to go on bigger vacations? It's right here, living for the glory of God. Everything else is cheap and superficial. And you just say, God, you know what? More than anything else, more than anything else, more than fame, more than wealth, more than comfort, more than security, more than relationships, more than anything else in my life, I want my life to bring you glory. Absolutely. I want my life to make you smile. I want you to say, hey, 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 that's my kid down there. Yeah, bring a smile to my face. I want to bring you glory. Maybe that's your prayer this week. God, this week, I want to use my life, the things that I say, the places I go, what I do, to bring you glory. After all, that is why we are alive. Boil it all down and it comes to that. We got to figure this out. Why am I alive? Why am I here? And God will show you. And God will show you how then to live for his glory. I'm here for you. I'm all about you. God, I just want to do it all for you. I want to live for your glory. Live for your glory. If you get just this much understanding, it's going to completely change your life. Just those three simple things right there. It gave us the greatest nation in the world. Gave us the greatest gospel of Christianity the world has ever seen or ever known. It brings heaven down to earth. It uses you for God to be glorified in all the world. It brings marriages back together. It takes people off of addictions. It completely changes the way you live and why you're living the way you live. Matter of fact, I'm just going to ask you to bow your head for a minute. I'm going to ask you to be an influencer. I'm going to ask you to be salt and light. I'm going to ask you to be strong. I don't know. Maybe you've been at 180 Church for 20 years. Maybe today's your first day. But I invite you to follow this prayer in your mind. And then I just, if it's you, if I come close to describing you, I'm going to ask you to respond to it. If this prayer is reflective of what you're feeling in your heart, you say to your Heavenly Father, I just want you to use me. I want you to make a difference with my life. I want to influence other people instead of being influenced by them. I want to become the influencer that you want me to be. Help me. Help me to know who you made me to be. Help me to know who I am. Help me to clarify what it is that you want to accomplish with my life. Help me to get a focus. What is it that pleases you? Help me to stop worrying about everybody else. God, truly in my heart, I want to bring glory to you. So help me to focus on what's most important. Forgive me for those times I get distracted. Teach me to listen, to hear your voice. Throughout the day, to just pause, to take a minute, and just listen to you. God, I want you to be the foundation of my life. When my foundation is on you, you're the rock, you don't roll. You're steady through the storms of life. I'm building my life on you. Keep your heads bowed. But if that's you, if you prayed that prayer, if you meant that prayer, not because you're a people pleaser, not because people are around you, but if that's you and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want you to stand up right where you're at. I want you to stand up where you're at because I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you. Don't feel peer pressure. Nobody thinks more or less of you. We're not looking around. This is an intensely personal moment. Put your hands out in front of you if you're standing. Just put your hands out like you're getting ready to catch something because I'm getting ready to deliver it. And I just say, Jesus, thank you for this church family. I pray that these people will rise up to be the greatest leaders of the 21st century right from this church. I pray specifically that you'll bless these people that are standing right now. Bless them, God. Transform them into great and godly leaders to the people that are around them. I pray that you will increase their influence for your glory, for your honor. I pray this week that you just begin to continually expand this in their mind. By your Holy Spirit, that you just continually teach them and train them. That they would have a clear understanding of what you've made them to be. What they're living for. What's most important. What you want to accomplish through the gifts you've given them. I pray that they'll hear your voice. And they'll begin to understand your mind of love for them. I pray that they would see the incredible potential that you've placed within them, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the family of God. I pray that you'd use them this week for your glory as your Holy Spirit helps them to become the godly people you've intended for them to be, the salt and the light that you've called us to be. I bless them in Jesus' name, and I pray this. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Would you be seated? I just want to talk to those of you who maybe have never invited Christ into your life. It's almost a foreign language, what I was saying to you today. It's like I can't even dare to believe that. That stuff is so far over my head, I'm not even sure that I can grasp that. I've never had anybody say that stuff to me before. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart right now. He brought you here regardless of why you came here or why you thought you came here. It was God who ultimately brought you here. And he's knocking on the door of your heart. He loves you like crazy. He wants to do a work in you that you could never do in yourself. He wants to lift the guilt. He wants to lift the shame. He wants to heal you of your pain. He wants to put you on a brand new road with the wind of his Spirit in your wings. He wants you to be so you can run and not be weary and walk and not faint, so your head goes back and there's a twinkle in your eye and there's a laugh. There's a spring in your step. All you've got to do is say, Jesus Christ, I open my life up to you. Today I'm saying yes to you. I want to know you. I want to learn to love you. I want to learn to trust you. I'm stepping across the line today, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I place you on the throne of my life. The areas I don't know, to help me to learn. Thank you for grace. Thank you for peace. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for coming into my life. If that's you and you prayed that prayer, I want you just to raise your hand right where you're at. Right where you're at. Good for you. 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 3, 4, 5 of them. You can just lower them right down again. Good for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, there's a whole group of people in this room who've done just what you've done. You're not alone. You've just entered into the family of God. I got news for you. Look up here, everybody. The Bible says that when one person ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins and come into their heart, there is a party in all of heaven. I mean, I kind of just heard a little something like, woohoo! Yeah! But we're just one small church in the whole world. Can you imagine the party in heaven that's been going on and is still going on and will keep going on? Oh, there's balloons, banners with your name on it. Oh, it's a party. You don't even know about parties until you get to heaven and experience that party. The God who created all this earth, you think the sunsets are beautiful here or sunrises? You ain't seen nothing yet. You think the colors are beautiful here? You've not seen anything. Wait till you see an unpolluted color, a sin-free color. Oh, ho, 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 ho. So for you, there's a party going on right now with your name. All of you that raised your hand and said, yes, I've asked Jesus into my heart. He's brought you into his family. And it's not like that you blow it. It's not like he says, whoop, you're out. I've written you off. You're out of the will. No, that's not our God. He says, come on, let's try that again. Let's clean off the wound. Let's put a little healing ointment on there. I'll help you. It's like he's running alongside of the bicycle. I'll help you. You can do this. Aren't you glad? Some of us need a whole new thinking of who God is and God's love for us. Wow, what a day. Let's call it Independence Day. Let's mark this on our calendar, shall we? July the 4th. I think we ought to celebrate it every year. How about you? Celebrate our independence. Celebrate our freedom. Celebrate what God has done for us. We're a part of the greatest nation, not the world has ever seen, that has ever been seen. Both here and forever and ever and ever. To God be the glory. Great things he's done. For those of you that did raise your hand and said yes to Jesus, you became part of the family of God. We got a yes table right over there. There's a couple of good looking people right over there. One more than the other. Natalie and Anthony. But you know what? Yeah, we know. But you stop by there. We got Bibles for you. We got packets of information for you. We got a lot of love over there. It's all free. It's just to help you get started. We just think you are absolutely the best. Let's continue with our praise and worship with our tithes and offerings. So as the ushers prepare to come